This coming Shabbos is going to be the Shabbos that we have the opportunity to read Parshas Emor. Rav Shlomo Volbe, in a brand new, recently released volume by his grandson, Rav Zev Volbe, Shurei Chumash on Parshas Vayikra, so Rav Shlomo Volbe quotes the understanding in his mindset that each Parsha has a particular title or theme to it. When it comes to Parshas Emor, Rabbi Volbe thought that the idea of the Parsha is the idea of kavod, the understanding that in life there is kavod. It's something that humans need in order to function. For whatever reason, he says it does not have the normal basis of desire, sort of like daiva or kina or jealousy. But rather, there is a value of being honored, of receiving honor, of giving honor, and all of that is a promotion of life. Of course, once a body has passed this world, the idea of kavod for the body is no longer there. And throughout the parsha, we certainly seem to find this theme of the struggle for honor to be somewhat present. So let's take a look at the parsha, and we will see all the different themes of honor that come in and how they can enter our lives as well. So we begin the parsha with all the mitzvos concerning Tumah and Tara upon death. We're told, Emor alo kohanim b'nei Aaron, to speak to the kohanim and let them know, l'nefesh lo yitama b'yamav, a kohen shall not become tame. And Rashi explains that even if he were a kohen gadol, and a nazir, was going to prepare the Karban Pesach, the kohen needs to become tame for a member of the community for a meis mitzvah. And Revelia Lopyan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, would quote in the name of the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal, that if the Torah goes so far in order to show respect for a person who passed, because he or she lived a life and performed some mitzvos, how much more so should we show respect and care for the living, while the soul is attached to the body and still has potential to perform even more Torah and mitzvos? And of course, this is one of the reasons why, while we have Kavod HaMeis, Kavod HaChaim supersedes. And then we're told later in the parsha that what? When it comes to animals, umauch vechasus v'nasuk v'charus lo sakrivu l'Hashem, animals that face certain sorts of maladies and injuries, including castration, those things cannot be brought as karbanos, those animals can't be brought as karbanos on the Mizbeach, uva artzechem lo sasu, and in your land you can't even make one. And Rashi tells us that this halacha is clearly obvious since it's a chovas haguf. It's a responsibility that every human being has. Jews are not permitted to castrate animals. So why would we even think to limit to the land of Israel? And so Rashi adds that this comes to teach us that the rule here must come to add a tame, that a tame animal also is not supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach or raised in the land of Israel. But the great Gaon Rav Chaim Feinstein Shalita, the son of Rav Michal Feinstein Shalita, adds that the Chiddush works in the reverse. Lest someone think that the increase in animal population would prevent the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, a person might come to the understanding that castration of animals, specifically within the land of Israel, might be mutter, perhaps even encouraged. So for that reason, the Torah reminds us that in the land, you're not allowed to do it either. You're not only not allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach, you cannot do it in the land. And then we're told, when we bring a karban, Lirtzon Chem Tizbachu, that when you bring a karban to Hashem, it has to be done Leratzon. And the author of Kelm would often note that when we want to express our Hakaras HaTov to Hashem, we do so in the manner that best expresses our emotions. Right? And the best way to show that emotion is with the fullest participation in mitzvos. But why would bringing a karban and consuming it within the right time be connected to Hakaras HaTov? So the author of Kelm answered that when you care for someone, you want to do exactly as they would want it done. And so therefore, when it comes to listening to Hashem, that means being able to create a Kiddush Hashem in order to show that we are ready at the drop of a hat to follow the word of Hashem. We then enter the world of the Parshas HaMoedim, and the first among them is Sheishas Yamim Te'aseh Melacha. The 6 days a person does work. Uvayom Hashvi'i Shabbat Shabboson Mikra Kodesh. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton, and Ramban explains that this will be an occasion of Kodesh. And what does that mean, that there's an occasion of Kodesh? So Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz Atzal explains that the day of Shabbos cannot be treated like a regular day. Man has a responsibility to make Shabbos into a special day, a real holy experience that will stand out, because everything contributes to that experience. The food, the drink, and even what we wear. And so hence the reference to Mikra Kodesh and the responsibility that Halacha has to make one turn the day into an environment that will change the way we look at things. We also find the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer in this week's parasha. We're told, Usfartam Lochem. And the Gemara tells us that if it's a mitzvah to count weeks, it's also a mitzvah to count days. We have two separate aspects of the mitzvah of Sfira. So why would we need to count both if when we count weeks, we are by definition counting days? So why would we have both mitzvahs? So Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zatzal, answers that the message here is that 1 plus 1 is not only 2, and therefore 7, 6 plus 1 equals 7, which is a week, but there's also another understanding. Things add up to a bigger picture until we get to the Shlemus of Hashem. It's one day versus another day, which leads us to a great thought that was expressed a couple of months ago by Sivan Rahav Meir in the name of Viktor Frankl, who noted that in the United States we have what we call a Statue of Liberty, or in Hebrew, the Pesel HaChirut. And Frankl said, that's not enough to have in the society at large. Next to the Statue of Liberty and Freedom, there needs to be a Pesel HaAchrayut. There needs to be a Statue of Responsibility. And this, suggests Rahav Meir, is exactly the Torah's understanding over here. What the Torah expects from us over here is Usfartam Lachem. Start off with the holiday of Cherus. Miyom Aviyachem, Mimachar Es HaShabbos. Miyom Aviyachem Es Omer HaTenufa. But get higher and upwards and onwards. Go up to something bigger and better. And how does one get higher and upwards and onwards? By turning around and making sure that you get to the Chag Mzman Matan Torosenu, which is the ultimate statement of freedom. It's freedom with direction and responsibility. Usfartam Lochem Imachar Sashabas. We then turn to Chag HaSukkos, and we're told that we are to Usmachtam Lufnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim, that we are supposed to rejoice in front of Hashem for 7 days. And the late great Slabatka Rosh Yeshiva of Isaac Sherzatzal would often explain the joy of the Yamim Tovim is not simply this outward display of happiness. That's not Hashem's desire. Hashem instead wants an inner state of simcha, ach sameach. And it's that experience that changes man's avoda into Hashem's desire of him. It's not just what you do, ach sameach, that's what he wants from us. We're told that we should take a ner, we should have a candle and use it, lahalos ner tamid, michutz leparochas haidos, outside of the parochas. You know, it's funny, both times we mention the parochas haidos, the location of the menorah is identified on the basis of where it isn't. Why do we highlight that it's outside of the parochas? What's to be gained therein? So Rav Dov Cook Shalita suggested that the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis notes that the western nair of the menorah is testimony to all of Am Yisrael that the Shechina rests on all of them. And if that's the case, then the candle has to be visible to the people. And that's why the Torah specifies that it's not hidden by the parochas, michutz leparochas haidos, there's a message to be contained therein. Finally, in the Haftorah this week, we pick up on the same theme of the Kedushas Kahuna, this time through the eyes of Yechezkel, who takes the perspective of how Kedushas Kahuna proceeds. Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita would often remind us that many people think that the Jewish tradition is only about death, but this week's Haftorah also highlights the issue, not from the perspective of the dead, but rather from the perspective of the one who's alive, namely the Kohen, that even the Kohen is given the responsibility to show respect for the dead, but the Kavod Abrios is a Kavod Chomer for the one who's alive. And although there is a well-known machlokas as to whether Lahitama is an opportunity, according to Rabbi Shmuel, or a Chiyuv, according to Rabbi Akiva, it was a tradition that was handed down within Kohen families going back to the times of the Mikdash. That one who loses a relative must become Tamei. And Rav Shechter would remind us of the famous Shitas HaRambam that only the Kohen has a chiyuv to become Tamei. Only the Kohen has a responsibility, because, quite honestly, it seems to be an opportunity for the rest of us, but it's a part of the expression of the Kavod Abrios. One who otherwise is not allowed to shows extra Kavod Abrios by making it his or her business to become Tamei at those moments in time. Becoming Tamei, or becoming Torah, is not nearly as important as the expression of kavod. Whether the kavod is a kavod of a person whether the kavod is the kavod of a place, whether the kavod is the kavod of a time, where the erech that we put, the value that we put into something, certainly helps us understand that behind it all is the kavod that we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May He grant us the opportunity to be received as displaying the ultimate kavod, and that is the kavod Shamayim, and may He bring us back to the opportunity to be in the right place and time when He will be able to be Megalei Kvod Malchuso Aleinu Mehera V'Hofavi Nase Aleinu Le'enei Kochai Shabbat Shalom to all.